It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and this afternoon I'm joined by Sean Conley and Gerry Taylor to talk about Celtic 1, Dundee 0. We are at Dens Park, of course. And let's have a wee look at that first half then. I'll start with yourself, Sean. I felt that Celtic in the first, probably in the first 10 minutes, five shots from goal, looked as though we were going to turn the screw a bit, but Dundee then came into it and then we scored it at the right time. But it's been a bit slack in that first half, hasn't it?
Yeah, that sums up pretty well. Yeah, we had the 10-minute flourish, then Dundee got a hold of the game. Midfield's not really got a hold of the game. Boatings, man-marking, Hitati out of it. We've just been pretty slack. I had one down, one a couple of notes, scales, one where he goes forward and he just plays a bad pass and we end up under pressure from... there was a throw-in 28 just before we scored where... Johnston throws it, nobody's looking, he finds someone and just goes straight back out of play for a Dundee throw. We were really actually quite poor, and even Sutton on the commentary pointed out that I took an initial grievance, I'm using the word lucky describing the Forest goal, but he was just not clear in his communication. What was actually lucky was the way the ball popped up from actually like a bad touch to set him up for the goal. So we have been pretty scrappy. It's not been comfortable. I'm hoping we're saving our dominant performance for the second half, and that's not the peak of it, and that we've got more to come.
Yeah, definitely. The big thing, Gerry, and you and I talk about it all the time, and on Monday is the positivity, and it's not about sitting here and trying to pick faults for the Celtic side. We're one goal up. But there has been moments in that first half where I'm looking at Dundee targeting us at that back post again, just like Aberdeen did. It's obviously an area of weakness, a bit of an area of concern. I don't want this to be 15 minutes in moaning about Liam Scales, but I don't think we've got the tempo. I've seen Cameron Carter-Vickers try to find the wingers regularly throughout that first half, not always getting there, but at least if he does, it shows that we're transitioning from defence to attack. Liam Scales takes too much time on the ball for me, Gerry. There was one occasion where he carried it for 20 or 30 yards and you're thinking, right, we need the right pass here because he's completely left himself open. He's left the back door open and the pass didn't come. He gave the ball away. But by the way, Callum McGregor's given the ball away three or four times in that first half as well. We need to tighten that up, Gerry.
Yeah, hopefully that wasn't a good half then. We should be happy, like you say. We're going in 1-0 up. Where other games, if you go by the way that we played in the poor halves, we wouldn't have got that goal. I thought James Forrest did fantastic. You'd think he was the youngest player in the park, the speed that he reacted to that, to the goal. You're right in what you're saying about Scales. You can see it. It's like when you watch it, you actually see the slow. It's got the play slow down. You can see it. He's a beat behind. Not just him. I think Kuhn's trying too much sometimes, just that extra touch too much, but he is looking lively. If you're looking at the whole squad, I think Kuhn's looked quite lively. Like you say, Sean Hitati's been marked out the game just now. He looks frustrated, but I'm still positive. I think we'll get a good result at the end of this. If we'd gone in at 0-0, maybe a wee bit more edgy, Dundee going in with a bit more confidence, but like I say, we're going to win this one. I think 3-0 at the end will come good.
Yeah, well, you know, that there's been predictions at the beginning of the game, Jerry, and I think that we have been a bit of a slow burner in many, many games. Two games this season, it was pointed out there during the first half, were 0-0 at the break. There was no goals at the break. Celtic were able to come into the game more in the second half. We've got the goal, we're ahead. And by the way, let's just take a moment to talk about the goal, Sean, because a lot of talk about Jamesy Forrest leading into this game. Another reminder of one was required last week that he can really positively affect a match. He starts the game. I was surprised actually to hear it was his first start since November. I didn't realise he hadn't started a game since November. So he starts today and it's him that gets the goal. What a finish. You're right. It was probably not Kyogo's intention to pass the ball. It was a bit of a bad touch by Kyogo, but first time, and that's the difference. And I think that when you're looking at these big, big games where you look back at the end of a season, you think there's a moment, that could be one of those moments, because he's basically grabbed the initiative and he's got us a goal in front.
The only other players in our team that I would have the down, like, I honestly didn't realise it was Forrest immediately, just because of the quality of it. And I was like, I shouldn't say that, right? Because he scored some great goals. I remember the one he scored pretty similar for Scotland against Israel. But that's not the way he normally scores. Normally he scores getting out from under his own feet. He doesn't normally score volleys. When he did it, I was like, oh man, who was that? Was that Riley or Tati? Like, because it just moved so fast. And then I was like, it's Forrest. I was like, whoa. Fair play. And all this stuff that we talked about before the match, comparing the stats of him and Yang doesn't even get that shot on target. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's absolutely, the team selection in that sense is absolutely spot on. That's made the difference. Credit to Rodgers for that. He's made the right choice there and it's paid off so far.
No, it has. And Paddy Lavery comes in. Great to see Paddy, as always. I'm sorry, but apart from James's goal, the first half was rotten. And I blame Jerry Taylor. Jerry, don't get the blame. They're getting the blame again.
I even put that in the group chat today. I'm not coming on. I'll get the blame for Paddy.
And there you go. Now, I'm going to bring this one up because we were talking about James Forrest's age before we came into the game and the comment I made last week. And by the way, I'm absolutely happy to put out an opinion and for people to disagree. I mean, Carter Vickers was my opinion last week and many, many of the viewers disagreed with that. But I was talking about 32 not really being old. Is it a modern thing? Is it a modern thing, Sean? A lot of the top pros are playing till their late 30s. And I think I had that in mind when I used it. You've brought up the pace thing. But here's one here from Danny Boy. McGregor looking his age. McGregor's only 30. That's definitely not old.
I think McGregor's just coming back from injury and that's more what's going on with him. The Forrest one is just a winger thing. If Forrest was a fullback, no dude'd say anything. But being you're a winger, you're once you get past there, it doesn't, like, we can talk about like sports science and conditioning. You can't stop time, you can't stop aging, and your fast twitch muscle fibers are going to decay once you get to that age. It's just a thing. But Forrest has absolutely stood up with his quality today. There wasn't, apart from the goal, there was one just 5 minutes before where he absolutely annihilates two Dundee players with his touch and goes round them. And it wasn't pace. It was just touch and intelligence that took him past them. And I was honestly, even just from the start, he's been shown so much impetus. Like, he was the first one to get a shot on target. He's just been absolute player of the half for me. I've been so surprised and impressed. And we're barely a year removed from him getting slaughtered when we lost 3-0 to Sefco last year. It's not, do you know what I mean, like, yeah, well played to that man. Well played.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. He's doing exactly what we were talking about last week. I was surprised to see him start, and I think there'll come a point in the game, Jerry, maybe 60, 65, hopefully, when we're still in control of the game, where he might have to come off because of the age question, etc. And even Brendan Rodgers has touched on that. I think what becomes worrying is, at the moment, and this seems to have been the state of play throughout the season, we've got one winger playing pretty well, and then Kuhn doesn't play too well, because I thought he looked good in the early stages, but as the game has gone on, he's not really created. And then you look on that bench and you think, all right, well, we're probably planning to take Forrest off, but Kuhn's not having a great game. And that's where the quality of the bench comes into play, Jerry. Is that a concern for you in the second half?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. got your happy price, Priceline.
As if we don't get another goal quite quickly, because then I think the nerves will start to kick in. We don't want to, like you say, the key thing is we want to be bringing Forrest off if we're in control of the game. If we're not, there's a decision to be made there. Do we risk playing Forrest for longer and then injuring him? You know what I mean? He's not used to playing that amount of game time, and then we don't even have the option of Forrest coming back in. So, aye, there's always a worry about a few things. It's where the next goal is going to come from as well. Maybe a stroke of luck with Kyogo's poor touch. I think it's straight off the training ground, if you ask me. I think the wee man meant it. But but I'm kind of... I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Ida quite early on in the second half, just because I think we're going to have more chance down the wings getting the ball in for the big man than we are getting through the centre. And we cannot... Any time we're trying to break through the centre, that counter-attack, we cannot underestimate. That Dundee one-touch counter-attack at times been tremendous in the first half. You've got to give them credit. They're really good going forward in the break. So I think the old cliche, we need an early goal, boys.
Well, we've done it. We have done it many times. First 10 minutes in the second half, Jerry, we've done that. We've gone out there and we've put the game to bed, really, and controlled it. I think my point with the wingers is you're looking at that bench, Sean, there's two wingers sitting there, but you're not thinking to yourself, you know, I can trust them 100%. Someone agreed with Jerry and said that Ida should come on. Should it be really at the loss of Kyogo, or should Kyogo do what Liam Carrigan's been talking about for the last two seasons and maybe play wide? I know that this is a conversation that we've had on Axon quite a bit. He's not really been in the game in the first half, has he? But he could become more involved in that game. He's got the engine for it, Sean. But we've not really seen him that often out there, have we?
It's really hard, that one with Kyogo. And I checked here, you mentioned it before, Jerry, about when he last scored an away goal. The last one was in October in the league, but it was he scored a November one in the cup away to St Mirren. So it has been a good 6 months since he scored an away goal. And it feels like that these days. It just feels like these teams are a low block. And even Rodgers has said it in post-matches and stuff like that. You know, he's on there for the quality. He can pull something out of nothing. And he's not on there for the graft and physicality that Ida brings. He's just more about the quality. And the way he's moving about, I'd say you're right, probably 15 minutes he's got at most. And I don't really see him getting something in that point, because Dundee are going to maintain that low block unless we get a second goal to open up a bit. So I think you're right. It's not going to be Kyogo's day, but hopefully I'm proven wrong and he comes out and does something.
Yeah, he's got it in his locker. We know that. Andy Logan, where's this blistering pace that Kuhn supposedly has? I think that he's a player that in the first, as I say, I thought he started off really well, came inside a couple of times and got a shot in as well. And I thought to myself at that point, he's in the mood, he's playing directly. But then, you know, his opposite number was up to the task, I think, and there's been a bit of a battle. I sometimes like that, though, because it's a test of character. I want to see him coming out in the second half, Jerry, and saying, right, okay, I'm in a battle here and I need to keep at it and actually prove that I'm up to the task here. So we'll see. I'm pretty sure he'll make an appearance after half time. Joseph McGonigal, Cal has given the ball away countless times. It was noticeable for me in the first half, four times I noticed, but he is coming back to full fitness. Not the same team without Maeda, but I'm going to use this comment that's come up here from Joseph to talk about the midfield, Jerry, because I think when everybody's fit and firing, that's the midfield I play. I think that's your strongest midfield. Rio Itati, much, much missed. McGregor, when he was out injured. O'Reilly, I felt carried for a while there, the midfield, through a lot of games, and he's put in a lot of legwork, and a lot of people are saying he's gone off the boil. We've not been great in the midfield in that first half, Jerry, and it concerns me a wee bit because I do feel that's your strongest three.
Yeah, well, hopefully, we're going to have a wee... excuse me. I'm choking my own dialogue here. So hopefully they're going to get a wee rocket up the backside. But it has been keeping into McGregor's game a little bit, so it is something to keep an eye on. But we also know on the flip side what he can give you in a game, especially seeing out the game. I think that's what's key today if we're not going to get that second goal. If you've not got McGregor there to help see out the game, I think you'd be a little bit more nervous. So we'll see, but you never know. If his form dips as well in the second half as well, then we might see a substitution there, but you never thought you'd be saying at the start of the season that McGregor, there was a possibility he could get subbed off. But we know what he's got in him. Hopefully he'll come out all guns blazing in this second half.
you look on the bench, and I think the opposite with regards to the wingers, Sean, I'm pretty confident we've got a couple of really good options on the bench. We've got young Daniel Kelly as well, of course, but Paulo Bernardo and Iwata, they give you something completely different. I don't think McGregor's had a great first half. I wouldn't be an advocate of hooking him at this stage. But Hatate as well, he's not really been as creative. He's not been the playmaker that we've got used to with Hatate. But as I said, though, I think that we do have some good options on the bench, Sean. Is it a concern for you that the midfield trio are not really clicking at the moment?
No, I don't. I don't think it is, no. I think O'Reilly's had some good touches, and I think Hatate's getting marked tight. And yeah, McGregor's struggling, but again, it's really, really tight windows with these passes, so I think it's more a result of just the way the game's playing out. In terms of the wingers on the bench, it's Palma and Yang. I mean, I don't trust either of them to come on and do the defensive job. I see Gerard's called me out in the comments asking if I've talked about how good Kuhn has been. And one thing I will mention with Kuhn relative to the two wingers on the bench is Kuhn does have a good body of defence, a good defensive work rate compared to those two. He did get booked first half at Ibrox the other week, so I'd say Forrest is more likely to come off ahead of Kuhn, even though Forrest has played better. Kuhn has more energy, more lively, and has a good defensive work rate.
I do. I noticed that early in the game, actually. There was some brilliant defending by Kuhn, and that's something that I think across the wingers that we've got is pretty poor. I think Maeda's very good at it. Kuhn's very good at it. The two guys on the bench are not, unfortunately. And when the game's so tight, I'd be loath to make that change. Like we were saying earlier, Jerry, until you've got a second goal, you've got a bit of a cushion. And Ewan Boy Martin says the same. We need more goals in midfield. Three have done nothing so far. They've got it, though. This is the big thing. The quality is there. You know what O'Reilly can bring to the table. You know what Hatate can do. And it wouldn't surprise me if they were at the heart of anything we create in the second half. That's 15 minutes up. We're going to go for the second half. Thank you to Ewan Boy Martin and everybody else who's commented on the halftime bulletin. 1,200 strong at halftime. It's 1-0 to Celtic. Can we get the job done in the second half? Let's go to the action and see. Well, it's left for me to say thank you to Sean Conley and Jerry Taylor for joining me on a Celtic State of Mind.
Let's do this.
Network.